So, thank you. Great. We have the poll out. 50%, the results are that 50% of people here today know of a person who has benefited from organ or tissue transplant. However, there are only 33% who are currently registered as donors. So, Rebecca and Tiffany, you know you have a very receptive audience because one third of them said, I'm undecided and I'm here to learn more. So that is what the polls show, as you can see. And we have people joining, but we'll. So, those of you who are new today, PACE is a forum that has now been around for a few years, and it is a volunteer collaboration effort between Northumberland Hills Hospital, the Northumberland Hills Foundation, the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland, the Northumberland Family Health Team, CHC, Loyalist, and I'm Care. And it started off as a conversation around health issues, and it has progressed. And we sourced the topics from people attending, and subsequently, we source the speakers. The key about this is the speakers volunteer their time. So, thank you, speakers, for today for volunteering their time. There is no sponsorship, there is no funding. This is a zero cost footprint, spreading the information from folks. This is not meant to be personal health advice, though today some of the questions may feel like I'm getting a personal advice. Can I donate organ if I'm blank age or I have these conditions? But this is not about personal advice. This is not about political policies or government policies. So if you ask, or why doesn't somebody mandate something, that is sort of not our domain to discuss. So we'll refrain from them. But today we are very excited, and I'll introduce the speakers. There are two speakers today. They both work for Trillium Gift of Life Network, which is a part of Ontario Health. So they are Tiffany Liu, and Tiffany, if you can wave, and Rebecca Massacar, registered nurses and hospital development specialist with the Trillium Gift of Life Network. And so the one question I asked them in trying to prepare how to introduce them to our August audience of PACE audience was that why do you do this work? And they both said we had seen at the receiving end when patients received organs, but we really wanted to see, as we saw from our polls, that the work it also need it's almost more important work to get people to sign up and register and understand what organ and tissue donation is and how can it be done. So today's focus is really the why, what, and how of organ donation. Like, why should you donate? What is organ donation? What happens? And how do you make it happen? So with that said, why don't I turn it over to you? And the spotlight is on you, Rebecca and Tiffany, and over to you.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome, Mukesh and Jennifer. Thank you to the community as well for inviting Rebecca and myself to come share some information about organ and tissue donation. And I have to say, by the survey that we just took for such a small group, I'm just surprised that so many of you have known people who've already been touched by donation. So, one of the questions that was posed is why is organ and tissue donation important? So, to begin to understand, I wanted to share a story of someone whose life was changed by liver transplant. You may have heard of Jillian Best, an avid swimmer from London, Ontario. She was born with a genetic disorder known as hereditary hemorrhagic telangiectasia. It causes malformations in the blood vessels, and ultimately, Jillian was told that she was in liver failure. The only cure for that was to receive a liver transplant. And in 2016, she finally received her long-awaited gift of life. Jillian wanted to raise awareness for other people who are also waiting on the organ transplant list. So a few years ago, Jillian conquered the 52-kilometer swim across Lake Ontario to raise money for London Health Sciences transplant program. It's a cause that's near and dear to her heart. So people like Jillian are the reason why organ and tissue donation is so important. This is just one story of the thousands whose lives have been transformed by receiving the gift of life. The reality is that individuals on the transplant wait list are suffering from organ failure. Without the generous gift of life from an organ donor, they will die. In fact, one individual in Ontario dies every 3 days while waiting on this list. And these people could be your neighbors, they could be your siblings, they could be your kids or grandkids. It could be somebody who is in kidney failure and on dialysis. Could be someone with lung disease and reliant on oxygen tanks. It could be a child born with a congenital heart defect. And for these kids, that's multiple surgeries throughout their entire lives and not being able to participate in sports like their friends. So these are the people who are waiting for a phone call of a lifetime that there's a match to help save their life. So we've talked about organ donation, but we can't forget about how important tissue donation is. One person can enhance up to 75 lives, and it's through the gift of ocular, skin, bone, and heart valve tissues. So ocular donors can restore sight. Skin donors can help healing and prevent infection for people with severe burns. And bone donors can help people walk again. Ultimately, transplants not only saves lives, they return recipients to truly productive lives. And it's really about quality of life. So I'll turn it over to Rebecca to read a letter from someone who received the gift of a multi-tissue transplant and how it impacted their life.
Thank you, Tiffany. Dear donor family, I'm 26, and on March 6, 2017, I received a tissue hamstring tendon donation from your loved one. First and foremost, I would like to express my sincerest apologies for the loss of your loved one. Thank you to both your loved one and their family for making such a selfless act at what I can imagine was a very difficult time. I hope this letter brings you some comfort knowing how your loved one touched my life, and I'm sure they touched many more. My entire life consisted of sports and an active lifestyle. I don't know life without being active. As with any sport, there's a risk all athletes take to participate, and I became one of those statistics. After repeated ankle sprains turned into multiple torn ligaments over time, I needed surgery to repair my ankle ligaments. Life was great, and I was back at what I enjoyed doing until I re-injured what the surgery had initially fixed. The surgeons told me there was no way that they could repair my ankle again as I had ruined my ligaments, and that is when it was decided that a donor was needed. I know I didn't receive a life-saving organ, but I did receive a second chance back at my life. Yes, warts were initially taken from me, but so was just the ability to walk on grass or on an uneven surface because it would cause my ankle to roll. The night before my surgery was one of the most emotional days I faced. I felt every emotion you could name. One particular emotion that struck me was sadness. Not sadness for myself, but rather sadness for the family of the donor. Knowing that my life would be changed also meant that another life had been lost. It was a bittersweet moment. That night, someone had also told me that I needed to think positive and know that the family of the donor may also feel comfort knowing that their loved one is helping someone else. Since the surgery, I have gone back to playing soccer. I ran my first 10K race and have been living my life. I wrote this letter many months ago at first, but never sent it as I thought you might only want to hear from an organ donor as they were given the gift of life. The more I have thought about it, though, I wasn't given the gift of life. However, I was given the gift to have my life back. I recently went through another unrelated injury and have been losing hope about going back until I thought about your loved one. It's my goal to get back again, knowing that I'm doing it for myself and for my donor. Not a day has gone by that I haven't thought about my donor and the gift they've given me. I wonder about them, what they enjoyed, and if there is a reason they decide to be a donor. I've made sure to become a donor myself, and I'm a strong advocate for my whole family to become one. I will be forever grateful to you and your loved one for making the decisions that they did. Words cannot describe how honored I am to have gotten this gift. I hope this letter brings you some comfort knowing the impact of your loved one. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Much love, recipient.
So we've talked about the impact of donation on the lives of the recipients, but also in my role as an organ and tissue donation specialist, I also see the impact that donation has on the donor families. So I remember meeting a lady who was absolutely devastated after her husband's passing. They did everything together. My heart broke for her because not only did she lose her husband, but she lost her best friend. She said that donation offered her a silver lining. She told me that if her husband was standing right here beside her and he knew that he could save someone's life, he would say yes without batting an eyelash. So this gentleman went on to save three people through organ donation. And she was at peace knowing that every time that she saw a butterfly, she would think about him and the three people who he saved. And just like this lady, many families who I speak to say that donation offered them a glimmer of hope during their grief. And it's a wonderful way for their family member to live on through others. So these are just a few stories which demonstrate why organ and tissue donation touches so many lives and remains so important. So that's the conclusion of our first question, the response to the first question. The second question that was posed is who can donate tissues or organs? We get this question all the time. So you may be surprised to know that everyone is a potential donor, regardless of their age or medical condition. Even individuals with serious illnesses can sometimes become donors. So people diagnosed with diabetes, heart disease, or even certain types of cancer can still potentially be donors. All individuals are evaluated by the transplant programs on an individual, medical, and case-by-case basis. So although anyone has the potential to be an organ donor, the reality is that the opportunity for organ donation is extremely rare. So only about 2 to 3% of hospital deaths occur in a way that allows for organ donation. Typically, for organ donation, this can take place only if an individual dies inside of a hospital and on a mechanical ventilator. The reason being is that vital organs require blood flow to keep them suitable for transplant. The only exception to this is patients requesting medical assistance in dying, as these individuals may be able to donate both organs and tissues. By far, there's a greater opportunity for tissue donation. This is possible if an individual passes away in the hospital or at home, and whether or not they're on a ventilator. I know we give you a lot of information, but the important takeaway is that if you think that helping others through organ and tissue donation is important to you, register your consent regardless of your medical history, because you never know, you may be able to save a life.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Tiffany. So another question we were asked are just about some of the common misconceptions that we hear about organ and tissue donation. So I want to speak to a few of those. So the first common misconception is kind of what Tiffany's already mentioned, that certain medical conditions are ultimate exclusions and can't donate. However, everyone is a potential organ or tissue donor, regardless of age or medical condition. I saw a question come in the chat about that as well, so we could speak a bit further. But even individuals with serious illnesses can actually sometimes be organ and tissue donors. So criteria are ever evolving. Certain conditions that used to not be allowed for donation are now able to donate. And so all potential donors are actually evaluated on a case-by-case basis. One example of this is hepatitis. So hepatitis used to be an automatic exclusion. However, that's now changed, and we're actually able to provide treatment to the recipient. So that's just one example of many kind of ever-evolving criteria changing. So many people also wonder about whether certain religions are not allowed to donate organs. However, most cultures and religions actually do support organ and tissue donation, or they respect an individual's choice. Like anything, though, we recognize that beliefs vary among individuals and communities. And so it's important to speak with your family or your religious or spiritual leaders if you're unsure or if you want to talk further about that. Something else that sometimes we hear is, oh, I can't donate blood, so I wouldn't be able to donate organs and tissues. But the regulations for blood donation are different for those for organ and tissue donation. So even if you're unable to donate blood or you've been told previously that you wouldn't be able to donate blood, you might still be eligible to be an organ and tissue donor. Tiffany, do you have any other misconceptions that you sometimes hear specifically from donor families?
Yeah, almost forgot to take myself off mute. That wouldn't be good. Yeah, sometimes when I speak to families, they're concerned about how donation may impact funeral arrangements. So we do share with them that organ and tissue donation should not delay or interfere with any funeral practices. Families are still able to have an open casket funeral. They can have burial, they can have cremation, and we're also able to incorporate any like religious or cultural practices at end of life as well. So all of the above, we can work with families to have that still respected.
Right. Yeah. And respect and dignity is something we talk a lot about, respecting and dignifying the donor's body. So there's even a moment of silence prior to the organ recovery actually taking place as part of that. So thanks, Steph, for that. Another question actually too that we hear from families is whether donation comes at a cost to the family, and it doesn't. So organ and tissue donation is a gift, and the cost for organ and tissue donation and transplantation in Ontario are covered by the Ministry of Health. So those are some of the major misconceptions that we wanted to chat through. And then we wanted to talk to you all about if someone decides that they want to be an organ and tissue donor. I know from the poll it looked like some were interested in learning more. So what's the next step? What do you do next if you decide that this is the decision you want to make? And that's a really great question. Happy to talk about why and how to register your wish to be an organ and tissue donor. So April is actually Be a Donor Month, so it's a great time to consider if this is a decision that you'd want to make. By registering your consent for organ and tissue donation, you're giving hope to over 1,200 Ontarians that are currently waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. It only takes 2 minutes and your health card. So there are two ways you can do this. You can do it at beadonor.ca or at a Service Ontario Centre. And we will drop the link for the beadonor.ca further in this presentation so that you can just follow the link there. Just make sure you have your health card. I know a question had come in as well about if you could say specifically which organs or tissues you'd be comfortable with donating, and absolutely you can. So when you go through that process, you follow that link, it'll ask you specifically to note which organs and tissues you'd like to donate. It is important to note though that the paper donor cards are no longer in use. So it needs to be either through a Service Canada or Service Ontario center when you update your health card. It's on your health card. It used to be on the driver's license. Now it's on your health card, or at beadonor.ca. The next really important step after you make that decision is to share your decision about becoming a donor with your loved ones so that they know your wishes. This can really help your family honor your end-of-life wishes if they're ever in a position where they have to affirm your decision. So talking about it with your family can help them understand why you made this decision and why it's important to you. So that's definitely the important next step, not just to make that decision for yourself, but then share it with your loved ones. We want to end this kind of first portion of the conversation by showing you a video. So Green Shirt Day is on April 7th, and it's in honor of Logan Boulay, who is one of the individuals who was in the unfortunate Humboldt bus crash in 2018. Logan had registered his wish to be an organ donor, and this decision had an impact that I think he wouldn't have even dreamed up or imagined. So please watch with me. I will give a bit of a disclaimer. It is an emotional video, so yeah, if it's too much, it's about 4.5 minutes long, and then we'll join for a Q&A. We'll have a time for that as well. So just give me a moment here to share.
In his bedroom, where his absence is so strongly felt, it's hard to appreciate the Logan Boulay effect.
People like, it's so cool, and I was like, it's not, because like my brother's not here. Do you realize what had to happen? Like, he's gone. But as time comes along, I kind of realize like the magnitude and how it's impacted so many people.
The Logan Boulay effect began here at the Royal University Hospital on Friday, April 6th, the night of the Broncos bus crash. The next morning, Toby and Bernie Boulay were informed that their 21-year-old son had suffered an irreparable brain injury. Logan's parents decided to go public with some private information.
Our friend Neil Langevin, Logan's godfather, we texted Neil's stuff, put something on Facebook, because people would want information, right?
Hours later, Logan's godfather posted on social media. All counted, six people will receive the gift of life.
Then on Sunday at the vigil, it became obvious by then that people across Canada were registering to become organ donors, and we were like, wow.
The Humboldt Broncos tragedy swept across social media. The news about Logan Boulay, a registered organ donor, and his gift of life provoked an incredible reaction. Thousands upon thousands of people responded, with not just thoughts and prayers, but with action.
If he was able to respond, it'd be like, no, it's nothing. Like, that's just what we should do. Like, I'd be like, whoa, like, this is a little bit overwhelming. I don't know why I'm getting all this recognition.
In April, organ donor registration rate spiked right across Canada.
I want Logan's legacy to be that he gave back.
And obviously his legacy with the organ transplants is generational, because the people who receive them, their life will go on. They will have children, grandchildren.
It just says that he's a smart and compassionate, caring young man.
Rick Suggett, Logan's trainer and mentor, inspired Logan to become an organ donor. When Rick passed away in 2017 from a cerebral hemorrhage, he also gave the gift of life to six people.
He'd be like super proud of that kid.
It's a cool August night in Lethbridge, Alberta, Logan's hometown. A crowd has gathered at City Hall.
Alex Halverson.
Kayla Ulch.
Jordan Calladine.
Brendan Harper.
Doug Hopkins.
Michael Grant.
They have volunteered their faces, their voices.
Logan Boulay.
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 So that the Boulay family knows personally why they became organ donors.
Logan was the best of us.
He drove me to want to make a change.
It all started with Logan.
I became a donor because Logan inspired me to do so.
I'm very proud to have those conversations with my family and make a difference.
It's the least I could do.
I became a donor because people are dying on the wait list every day.
I became a donor because it's the right thing to do.
The day after I saw the social media movement that him and his family created, I went down and signed my donor card.
We think of him as someone who's brave and someone who cares about other people.
Logan is my son. And I'm very happy and honored that all these people came.
Logan Boulay Effect is amazing. My son is amazing. Thank you to everybody that came out tonight and continue to sign up to become organ donors. Thank you.
It doesn't matter how many times I watch that video. It always is pretty impactful.
An amazing story. And thank you for sharing with us. So,
Mukesh, you seem to have gone on mute.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thought I took myself off mute. So we're ready for Q&A, right? No, thank you for sharing. And the video and even the letters were very moving. And you know what I find really inspiring is that one person donating can affect 75 people's life with tissue. And the other thing is it is not just registering to donate an organ and thinking, what can I donate? It is mostly the intent. Are you a personality who likes to make a change in somebody else's life despite you might be gone? That is what you are registering to donate, rather than, because we don't know what we'll have when we die, like which disease we will have. That will be there. So I put in some of the questions, and feel free to raise your hand or come off mute and come on camera to ask the question yourself. But the first question that was emailed prior was, I'm immunocompromised.